morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I have a special privilege of introducing Jeff as our speaker this morning. And Jeff's been a very busy man the last few weeks, and I'm glad he was able to make some time to come and speak to us and tell us the things that the Lord has put on his heart. And with that, I'll give you my brother, Jeff Holden.
Thank you, Benny. I appreciate it. And good morning, everyone. I am excited to be here with each of you, and definitely I wish each of you a happy Easter. I had to smile a little bit, Benny, when you made your comments about needing the rain. We would gladly send you ours, and probably send you a little bit of the cold weather we have too. So we would gladly take a little happy medium of both. There would be nice. So welcome everyone, and I thought a lot about this today, and I'm actually going to ask for some interaction. I'm going to ask for you to kind of your input here as we go through this today. Probably not a typical Easter Sunday sermon, but yet in Benny's prayer, he made a comment and he referenced today as a day of remembrance. And really that is what I want us to think about, is that remembrance of that sacrifice of truly what Christ did for us, is that he died on the cross for us to save us of our sins, and we truly have a lot to be thankful for, and that we do have blessed lives and we are a blessed people, and truly in a time where I know that our Heavenly Father continues to work in our lives. We can watch our church, we can see the happenings within. There's no doubt we have challenges, but I challenge each of us today to set aside the challenges that we have in life and to utilize this time to think about that remembrance that our brother Benny mentioned in his prayer. I want you to turn with me, start off in Mosiah, the 8th chapter. In my Book of Mormon, this is on page 255, and I'm going to read just a few verses here. I'm going to start at the 80th verse. Again, I'm in Mosiah, the 8th chapter. And like I said, in my Book of Mormon, it's on page 255. I'm going to start at the 80th verse. And if Christ had not risen from the dead or have broken the bands of death, that the grave should have no victory and that death should have no sting, there could have been no resurrection. But there is a resurrection. Therefore, the grave hath no victory, and the sting of death is swallowed up in Christ. He is the light and the life of the world, yea, a light that is endless, that can never be darkened, yea, and also a life which is endless, that there can be no more death. Even this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, and shall be brought to stand, therefore, the bar of God, to be judged of him according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. If they be good, to the resurrection of endless life and happiness, and if they be evil, to the resurrection of endless damnation, being delivered up to the devil, who hath subjected them, which is damnation, having gone according to their own carnal wills and desires, having never called upon the Lord while the arms of mercy were extended towards them. For the arms of mercy were extended towards them, and they would not, they being warned of their iniquities, and yet they would not depart from them. And they were commanded to repent, and yet they would not repent. And now, had ye ought to tremble and repent of your sins, and remember only, in and through Christ you can be saved. You know, and that's really the start is as I think about this day, you know, typically, and we read it just a little bit this morning here, is, you know, whether you look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you can read the story of Christ's crucifixion. You can read the story of his rising up, and we can read and understand what happened in the story of that crucifixion. But here is really what stands out to me is that example that Christ set, that And I say example because that experience that he went through, that crucifixion, where he died on the cross for us, and that each of us now have that opportunity for eternal life. And like in that 89th verse, only in and through Christ can you be saved. You know, and that is really our opportunity today, is to have that opportunity be saved. And that opportunity to remember, and that experience to remember, and thinking on the remembrance of Christ. I want everyone to think, and I want you to kind of just put your finger in your book, or you can close your book, and I want you to think about that first remembrance that you have of Christ. Think about that first opportunity that you had to know that there is a Christ, to know that there is a God in heaven, your first desire to serve, even your desire to be baptized. If we look at today is a day of remembrance, remembering that connection to Christ is our opportunity to truly reach out to Him, our opportunity to strengthen that bond. I remember one time at work, I heard a guy talking, traveling along, and the guy was talking about that constant communication that we can have with Christ. And he said, you know, unfortunately, sometimes within that communication with Christ, it's always can be a two-way communication, and that Christ will never close off that communication link, but only in ourselves do we close off that communication or that constant communication with Christ. I remember as a kid, and as I thought about this, what I was asking you to think about, I thought about as a kid. I remember my dad was always a worrier, and my dad always thought that he thought the worst thing was going to happen no matter what we were doing in our lives. And he was always worried about, you know, even to the point where when we were going out to cut grass, you know, he would always challenge us and expect us, you know, did you pray? Did you watch? You know, are you careful? And that remembrance to pray in our lives was kind of that foundation for me, and that remembrance of no matter what we do in our lives, we are to pray. And I know that is the challenge that I continue to throw out to my boys in their lives, whether it's going to a ball game, whether it's going for a test, whether it's going out with their friends. My challenge to them is continue to pray, and that constant communication, that remembrance of Christ. That remembrance, I believe, is a gift that we have been given, is that ability to think freely in our minds, not to be dictated to and expected to, but that challenge that we have that constant communication. Turn with me to Romans, the 6th chapter. And I'm gonna read several verses here in the 6th chapter. This is Romans, the 6th chapter, and I'm gonna start at the 3rd verse. And I'm gonna read through the end of the chapter here. Romans, the 6th chapter again, I'm gonna start at the 3rd verse. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That verse stands out, and that remembrance that we have, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are alive. Our spiritual lives are alive. And we have that opportunity. And that day that we have today, like I said, that remembrance is that time to be alive in Jesus Christ. Continue. continue on in the 12th verse. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but you yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, and that really has stood out to me. I this week, as I was preparing and putting thought into what to share today, you know, I spent some time going through and rereading that of the crucifixion, rereading in John, and where Christ was crucified, where Christ was hung up on that cross, where Christ rose again, and those stories, and that those stories, although they are stories of records that actually happened, you know, as we read, much like we read here in Romans, it is also what we read of his crucifixion and the rising and his rising from the dead is that example that is set for us, and much like in that 23rd verse, the gift of God, right? That gift that God gave. One, the gift was his Son, Jesus Christ, the gift to us. And that eternal life that we have. And truly, you know, think about it. It's much more than the life that we live today. And so my challenge to you, and as I asked earlier, I would ask if anyone would be willing to share. You know, to me, the example that stands out is that first desire that we had to serve Christ, whether it was our desire to be baptized, or it was our desire or an experience that we had that drew us closer to Christ and closer to God. And so I'm going to pause here for a few minutes, and I would ask if anyone would be willing to share their testimony with each of us this morning.
Jeff?
Yes.
This is Patsy. When you spoke about the first time you had ever known there was God and that you wanted to serve him, immediately comes to mind the first thought that I've ever had was when I was a young child. I was not yet even in kindergarten, and I had been playing with matches. My mother was a smoker, and I burned my finger, and I prayed, and the Lord healed it. And I went over to the neighbors where my mother was, and I told her what had happened, and she was very pleased. I don't remember the details from there, but just I remember specifically that God healed me.
So you bet. Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else?
Jeff, this is Jerry. I'm not sure I remember the first time, you know, I knew about Jesus. I think I was fortunate in being brought up, being taught about him, you know, my whole life. But you said the word no, which did bring a time to my mind. I was asleep one night, and it was in a period of my life where I was young and I was struggling, felt like my prayers didn't go anywhere. And I was praying and I was asking God for help and forgiveness, and just, you know, I felt like somehow there was no connection, and I'd fallen asleep praying, and then suddenly this, I woke up and there was this little light in my room, and I, once I saw it, it went out the door of my room, and so I got up and I followed it, and it went in the living room, and right over to the, we have a three-window mole unit in my parents' house, and it went right up to the center window, and that window opened and banged shut three times. I remember at the time it struck me like a, almost like a judge's gavel or something, and I just called out my name kind of slowly, my full name, and said, that he had heard my prayers and that he had answered them. I just remember that it made me know that he was God, that he was there.
Thank you, Jerry.
Jeff,
are there others?
Yes. I just was remembered it was when I was considering baptism and was kind of unsure about it, and I had a dream, and I had this dream every night for a week, the same dream, and in that dream there was this dark spirit pulling on my feet to pull me down this dark hallway, and I was holding on to the door casing, and the door casing itself was coming loose from the wall, and the spirit and the dream would end. And I had that same dream every night for six nights, and then on the seventh night, while this was happening, I thought to pray. And as I prayed, the door casing drew back to the wall and became firm and fast. And this dark spirit that had its hold on me was released. And I was free. And the next morning I asked my dad for baptism.
Yeah, thank you, Benny.
I really don't. Back years ago, the Missouri reunion was at my Uncle Doc's farm in Yukon in a big tent. And I wanted to be baptized. And then my mom told me that I was too young and needed to be older to make that decision. And then Jane Ann and Johnny decided they wanted to be baptized, and they were going to be baptized, and I was a little angry because I wasn't going to be allowed. And then that's when my granddad was also baptized. And I just carried a lot of resentment from then on. And then when I was the summer between my eighth grade year and my ninth grade year, we were moving to Nashville, and it was getting Missouri reunion time, and Brother Pashnik was kind of my hero. And I had talked with him on a visit and told him that what had happened and how I felt, and that I was afraid with moving to Missouri that, I mean to Tennessee, that I wouldn't get an opportunity to be baptized. So he talked to my mom, and I was baptized at the Missouri reunion that year.
Thanks, Joanie.
Steve has a wonderful testimony, and he doesn't like to talk. I don't either, but I will share his testimony because I think... Oh, now he's going to talk.
I don't like to talk, but my testimony is that when I was raised Baptist, and Baptists are somewhat skeptical of most other religions. I think we were probably the holier-than-thou type of group. But anyway, I'd gone to church with Joanie for years, and I'd read the Book of Mormon, and one night I was asleep, and I had a dream, and in this dream a vision came, and it was obviously Christ. It was just a man in a white robe, and I couldn't see his face, and there were two books, and one was the Bible, and one was the Book of Mormon, and he said, "Come follow me." And I picked up the Bible, and he said, and I looked at the Book of Mormon, and he said, "Bring that too." And that was kind of my eye-opening. I don't know what the word is, but my decision to become a member of the Church of Christ. Of course, I'm very glad I did.
Great. Thank you, Steve.
Hi, Katie. I was really young. I can't remember how old. I was riding my bike up the street, and a car stopped, like, halfway up the street to ask questions. He asked me where some street was, and it was nowhere around where we lived, and so I said, "I'm sorry, I can't talk to you." So I started riding up the street some more, and when I turned around to go back down the block on the other side, there's no houses or anything there. He came up the street following me. My chain came undone on my bicycle, and he stopped right next to me, and he rolled down the window and said, "Do you need some help, girlie?" And he opened the door, and he started to reach for my arm. That's when I knew. I thought I was going to be kidnapped, so instantly I got on my bike with the chain off and just rode down the street as fast as possible. I didn't have brakes to go around the curve, but I jumped off my bike and ran up the hill to my house, and he came back down around the block again, and right when he was about to get to my house, when I was there, my neighbor... She came out of her driveway and blocked him so I could close the garage.
Thank you, Katie.
This is Cindy. I guess I had kind of a long way to come to the Church of Christ. I was baptized Catholic when I was a baby, and during my growing up years we were all really close family, and I'm very thankful I was taught a lot about Jesus, and you know that he died for us, and I was going to save all the Protestants in the world to become Catholic. And as I got older, I started to question things in my faith about the Pope and just not understanding a lot of the things that I had been taught, and got to college. And before I went away to college, I prayed that God would bless me with some Christian friends. And the first people I met when I got on the campus were kids who went to, like, Campus Crusade for Christ or a Christian fellowship. And they started asking me lots of questions, you know, why do you believe this about Mary, or why do you believe, you know, just a lot of things I believed. And I was like, wow, it's in the Bible, you know. And they would say, well, can you show us? And I was like, wow, I don't know where that is. And I started to avoid them because I had never really read the Bible myself. But it did prompt me to start reading, and I started studying and going to more of the activities of the Christian, you know, kids on campus, and realized that I needed to be baptized where I had made the decision that I had accepted Jesus and needed to be baptized. And so in college, I was at a, I guess it was like a Baptist revival with my friends, and they had the altar call, and I went forward then and was baptized, and it felt wonderful, and I thought that I had done everything, you know, then that I needed to do as far as that. But years later, I was out in Kansas City, and then I met Jerry, and he had the Book of Mormon sitting on his seat of his truck, and all I had known of the Book of Mormon was that I thought it was some book that Joseph Smith had written, and like it was the Bible that he had rewritten it. And I looked at it and thought, who in the world is Nephi and Lehi? They're not in the Bible. But we talked, you know, more, and he explained more to me of it. And of course, then my goal was to save Jerry because he was in, you know, believing a Book of Mormon that he shouldn't be reading. But as I studied and learned and read, God just really opened my eyes and my heart, and I realized how I was still searching for more, and learned, you know, that I would wanted to be baptized by one with, you know, with authority, and just felt like everything was there, you know, it was complete now. And it took me a long time to get there, but I'm so thankful for God just guiding me and putting people in my path that got me here. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any others? So I guess as I think about that which is shared, and I think about the mighty miracles in each one of the testimonies that were shared, and for myself, I'll tell my testimony. I know, and for me, it was the first, I guess, real experience that I remembered, or that I can remember, that I knew there was a Christ, and I knew that there was something beyond truly there working in our lives. For me, it was an experience where, and some of you may have heard this testimony before, but where my parents were shopping for a camper trailer, and I remember we were walking through a bunch of different campers, and my dad used to smoke, and I remember that my dad's cigarette was down beside his hand, and I walked into the cigarette, and it singed my eye. And I remember that immediately my parents took me to the hospital, and I remember hearing the doctor say that I probably lost my eye. And it was like a burn, and if you can imagine, if you see plastic in a fire, it was almost like that. It just, my eye dried up, it kind of crinkled up, and the doctor was extremely concerned. And my dad was just distraught, and my mom, I remember my mom was very strong. And I remember that we left the hospital and we were heading back to our house, and the doctor said, you know, at this point, we just have to wait and see. And so I remember my parents, we drove by the temple lot, and we got out, and it was a weekday. And I think Brother Sheldon was there at the time, and I remember being a minister to by Brother Sheldon. And, you know, for me, you know, like Jerry said, I grew up in the church, and you know, I don't remember a time that I wasn't going to church, but I remember that experience because it stood out to me because it was a miracle, and I was healed. And today, where I don't have any trouble with my eyesight at all, but clearly knowing that that was a miracle that Christ works in our lives. I want to tell another testimony, and it wasn't that long ago up here. We were actually down in Kansas City over a weekend, and we found out that my cousin's son, my cousin Holly Cook, used to be Holly Smith, was up in Des Moines, and they were at a hospital. And their son Michael had a flu the week before, and when they were up here in Iowa, they were doing something for Kenny's work, and Michael got basically Michael had an issue where a reaction to the flu where he could not walk. He lost all ability to walk, and they had taken him to the emergency room and ended up where they took him to the Children's Hospital here in Des Moines. And so we jumped in the car that Sunday morning when we found out about that, and knowing that they were up here in a town that they didn't know anybody. So we blasted up and came up, and I remember I know that the prayers went out that day for Michael. And the doctors told him, said, you know, he can recover from this, but it's going to be a while, and it's going to be a long while and a slow recovery because of the flu that attached itself to him and the challenges that then come along with that. And you know, here was a little kid that was laying in the hospital bed, and I remember going and we spent some time there, and Michelle spent most of the day there with them, and knowing that the prayers went up. And the next day, that young man walked out of that hospital. And I know that that was a blessing, and I know that was a blessing from God. And to me, it's that remembrance that we have, and that remembrance, you know, as Steve talked about in his dream, and that seeing that Christ come into his life, and that calling, and that reaching out to him, and that each of our lives, we have that opportunity to remember. And today is that day of remembrance that we have. And today is that opportunity we have to cling unto that, to strengthen that relationship that we have with God, to strengthen that relationship that we have with Christ. And truly, it is that relationship that we have. And like in any relationship, we have to work on it. We have to exercise it. We have to reach out and call into his name, and we have to talk to him. And my challenge to each of us is that when we kneel down to say our prayers tonight, and so we ask him for that strength, and that we ask him to strengthen that relationship that we have. Turn with me to Alma, and I want to want to close with Alma, the 13th chapter. And I'm going to read the 46th and 47th verse. In my Book of Mormon, this is on page 385. And to me, this really stands out, and that on the 46th and 47th verse here. And since man had fallen, he could not merit anything of himself, but the sufferings and death of Christ atoneth for their sins through faith and repentance. Right? So that calling, and immediately in that 46th verse, you know, that example here, and really that example that we are called upon, you know, is that there is nothing in ourselves. There is nothing there. There is no doubt. We have talents. We have strengths. We have abilities. But those strengths and abilities are clearly talents that are given to us by Christ. They are given to us by God. In the 47th verse, and that he breaketh the bands of death, and speaking of Christ here, that the grave shall have no victory, and that the sting of death should be swallowed up in the hopes of glory. And I'm going to end there. And that verse that I ended with, or where I ended in that verse is, you know, is that sting of death shall not have it on us. Right? We think about that there is more to this life, and how thankful I am and how thankful we all should be that there is more to us than just this life that we live today, but that eternal life that we are living for. And so my hope and my prayer for each of us is that we remember, is that we take that time to set aside. If it's going back and reading, and I would encourage you to go back and read the 19th and 20th verse, or I'm sorry, the 19th and 20th chapter in John. You know, think about that crucifixion. Think about the rising and that rising that Christ came back to life. Right? But think about it not just for the story that it is, but for the example and for the symbolism of that calling that Christ has to us, is calling to us for greater things. Keep that line of communication open. Kneel down and be thankful for. I'm thankful for the testimonies that each of you shared. For me, selfishly, and especially as we live away from a church, to me, those testimonies are a remembrance. For me, those testimonies are those examples that I can share with my boys in that example that we have, that there is a God, there is a Christ, there are great things that happen in our lives, and each of those is a remembrance that we can carry with us. And so my hope is that we carry those testimonies, that we carry those examples that we have, and the love of our brothers and sisters each year that we can carry with us throughout this week. My prayers are for each of you, and I thank you for your time. I hope you have a happy Easter.